Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and a companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on Deadspin.com. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com. Or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. Speaking of Deadspin, I'm so excited to be joined today by some of the women of Deadspin, and we've got something kind of special planned for you. Because I'm a little bit worried that you're not going to be able to tell the sound of our voices apart, I'm actually going to have them introduce themselves so you can hear their names and voices and hopefully identify the difference between all four of us. So Hannah, I'm just going to have you start and come around.
All right. Hi, I'm Hannah. You'll know that it's me because I'm the one with the very deep voice. Whenever I listen to myself back on tape, that's what I think. I write and now also do video for Deadspin. I've been there like a year and a half, and I mostly want to write about baseball and horse sports, but then end up doing weird stuff like today. I wrote about marbles.
It was a great little piece, though.
Thank you.
The marbles were fascinating. Okay, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura. I started at Deadspin in February, and I write about soccer and tennis. Recently, I've been writing about boys' underwear at Wimbledon.
It's been fabulous. I have a lot to say about underwear. I've been talking a lot about underwear this summer. It's like the summer of underwear.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like a thing. Yeah. I've been very excited to see all your Wimbledon coverage.
Thanks.
Yeah. And Lindsay.
I'm Lindsay Adler. I've been at Deadspin for about a year, and I'm a writer, and I mostly cover baseball.
Excellent.
Plus some other random whatever.
Plus some
pisses
other stuff.
Me off that day.
That's why we love you. You guys, today we are going to break from form a little bit, and we are going to dole out some non-cleaning advice in addition to the usual stuff that I do on this show. We're going to start out with a question that falls at the intersection of cleaning and relationship advice. And then we're going to tackle some Deadspin reader questions from dudes who are just in need of some sensible ladies to help them figure stuff out. We're really excited about this. I'm really excited about it because I feel like this is a good little like fun break for me. I've been talking about cleaning week in and week
out. Plus, we can help these guys.
And we're going to help these guys. And we really want to do that.
They need us. They do.
Yeah. Before we get into it, we want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages we're offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps us so much, and we'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like us to consider making available. And we do have some new patrons to thank this week. In fact, we have a first for the show. We have all male patrons. Thank you, dudes. You finally showed up. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you finally showed up on the week that I've got Lady Spin in the house. Like, this is just, it's all happening. So big, big thank you to Chris Dance, Scott Holland, and Steven Scriber. Love you guys. You are amazing. All right. So we're going to roll into the first question. As I said, this first question falls really right at the intersection of cleaning and relationships, and it's part of a concept that I'm hoping to bring back. I used to have a column called Till Dust Do Us Part, in which I doled out cleaning and relationship advice. But it wasn't a Q&A style column, and it really needed to be. And for many years now, I have sort of been on the hunt for the right home for a new iteration, a Q&A version of Till Dust Do Us Part. So I figured that when I had Lady Spin here and we were going to kind of do relationship stuff, this was a good excuse for me to do a little like maybe like pimping out of Till Dust Do Us Part, and I can shop it around and see if there's any interest. So I think, Hannah, I'm going to have you read the first question if you don't mind. I'm just going to go around and
sure.
Keep it that way. I think it makes sense that way.
Hi, Jolie. I heard your interview with Terry Gross and just had to write. I, too, am a very clean person. So very much that I always have two full containers of vinegar at my place at all times. And I have a question for you. My boyfriend's mom taught him to hang his bathroom rug, I'm assuming to dry, on the edge of the shower after finishing the shower routine in the bathroom. It is in between the shower curtain and the shower liner, so it has absolutely no access to sufficient air to dry. I say just leave it on the floor where it belongs and wash it every month. Who would be correct in this situation, his mom or me, and what would you recommend? It feels like what they really want to know is who is correct and how do I tell him that?
So you actually hit the nail exactly on the head that there are actually two separate questions that are going on here. And then there's a third issue that's going on, and we're gonna roundtable discuss the third issue. But the first two are things that I can handle in my capacity of being Jolie Carrier, the internet's clean person. So the two questions are this. The first question is, which of us is right? And the second question is, what would I, Jolie Carrier, recommend? Okay, so there are two different things. Now I'm gonna tackle the first question first. I'm very sorry to tell you that I'm not going to give you the answer that you want, Sarah. I'm also not going to give you the answer you don't want. The thing is that neither you or his mom are right. Neither is right and neither is wrong. The problem is that you're approaching this as a black and white, as if there is one correct and one incorrect answer. And that's simply just not the case. Because when it comes to bath mats and what to do with them, there are options. And all of the options that there are come with pros and cons. So I'm going to tell you what the five or six different options are. And I'll give you the pros and cons of each. And then you can decide what's right for you. And then I am going to tell you what I personally would recommend. So here are the options. Option one, hang it over the tub with the curtain open. Here is the problem with that. It's better to close the curtain because if you leave the curtain open, all of the water that's collected on the curtain gets in those folds and it will create mildew faster than if you pull the shower curtain all the way closed and let it drip dry. But that's an option. The second option is to hang the bath mat over the tub with the curtain closed, which is what the boyfriend is doing because that's what his mother taught him to do. The problem with that, as Sarah's already pointed out, is that then there's a shower curtain on one side of the bath mat and a shower curtain liner on the other side, and the bath mat itself can't dry because it has no access to air. So it's not ideal, but it's an option. A third option is that you can hang the bath mat over the curtain rod. That's certainly something that you could do. The problem with that, though, is that shower curtain rods are an overlooked part of the bathroom when it comes to cleaning, and they do tend to be really, really, really filthy. Like, I have to clean my, when I take my shower curtain and shower curtain liner down a couple times a year to launder them, I actually have to get up on a ladder with WD-40 to clean off my shower curtain rod because it's like a metal rod that somehow attracts, like, soot. And it's very weird and incredibly distressing for someone like me, but that's not what this show is about today. Okay, a fourth option is that you can hang the bath mat on a towel rod. If you have a spare towel rod, then you could just hang it right over that. The next option is dependent on the style of the bath mat. But if you have a hotel-style bath mat, which are the thin ones that are basically like just little towels that don't have that rubber backing, you could hang that on a hook. Hooks are great and bad. Don't sleep on a hook in the bathroom. Hooks are very, very useful in the bathroom. And then the last option is the Sarah option, which is leave it on the floor. So I think I'm not going to like belabor the point that there's no right and wrong answer. There are options, and it depends on the style of your bath mat. It depends on how your bathroom is designed. If you have an extra towel rod to spare, great, use it. If you don't, that's not an option for you. If you have glass shower doors, you can't hang it over the side of the tub. Like, there are all of these options, and nothing is right and wrong. The trick is to find the option that works best for you and your bathroom. Now, I did promise that I would tell you what I personally would do, what I would personally recommend. The two things that I personally would recommend are, number one, if you do have an extra towel bar, that's the ideal thing. That's perfect, because then it's up off the floor, it can hang, it can dry, there's no problem, everyone's happy, leave his mom out of it. The other thing is just leave it on the floor. And actually, in my own life, I do not have an extra towel bar to spare. I leave mine on my floor, but I fold it up into thirds and I kind of tuck it under my like little vanity cart that I have for all of my lotions and potions. But that works for me, and then I launder it every week or every other week and so on and so forth. So that's like the bath mat. Where does the bath mat thing go? The thing I want to open up to the group, though, is this power struggle that's going on, because I have to believe that Sarah is really not fighting over a bath mat here. Does anyone actually really believe that this is about a bath mat?
Well, I didn't know anyone had as many thoughts as about the bath mat, but it turns out you do. So maybe Sarah does, too. I mean,
Hannah, you've met me.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what I even do with my bath mat. Do I have a bath mat? Like,
well, I do have thoughts, but I also, I think about this stuff because people ask me, and then I sit around and I stew, and then I come up with all of these thoughts about it. So, yeah, I know it's crazy to have that. I mean, you guys, I do now really wish that we videoed these, because of the looks on their faces when I was going through all this bath mat stuff was like, how is she still talking about bath mat?
I was like, what's WD-40?
Yeah. Right. Wait, what?
I don't know what that is.
I was like, I should not leave my bathroom curtain all crunched up in the corner after every shower.
Yeah,
I should
just
take
like,
it down
I did not
and
want
clean it?
Jelly to come over. Like,
yeah.
Please never
oh, I'll
come
clean.
Over
no, no,
to my
no,
apartment.
I'll just clean.
Wait,
well,
what is WD-40?
WD-40 is, I can't believe you don't, first of all, I can't believe you work at Deadspin and you don't know WD-40. I feel like you should like walk in on the first day of Deadspin and they just hand you a can. Like welcome, here
things
we are.
Things have changed since you left.
Yeah. No, not that much. Okay, WD-40 is it's basically like a lubricant. The WD stands for water displacement. It's the stuff that you use when like you have a squeaky door hinge. It's the stuff that you use when two things are stuck together and you can't like get them apart. WD-40. WD-40 also has like thousands of weird uses. It's the stuff you use to get gum off of like fabric or metal.
No, no, it's the stuff you use. To
no,
get gum off of it.
No, that's norm.
I was like, I don't use it. I don't.
No. That's a normal, like, usage. They also, they don't really anymore. They must have changed agencies or something, but they used to have a really, really great Twitter account. And one day they tweeted out that one of the uses was to keep the chains on your drawbridge from getting rusty.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, thank you, WD-40. I was really worrying about the chains on my drawbridge. Funny.
Well, that's
anyway,
good
so
to
that's
know.
WD-40. All right. Well, clearly now I'm going to have to put a WD-40 explainer on my edit list for the fall, because I didn't know that the kids didn't know about WD-40.
I mean, it might just be me. Did you guys know what it was?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was a thing that people who cleaned more probably had in their apartment.
All right. Well, it's just me then.
It's not a clean. It's not a cleaning.
No.
It's not really so much a cleaning thing as it's like a handyman kind of thing. Like it's a
well,
kind
I'm
of
not
thing
that either. I'm not a handyman.
I'm going to look into it. I kind of want it.
Yeah,
sounds
I'm going to get you some.
Thanks.
To say thank you for being on the show.
Great.
Yeah. But yeah, we should talk about.
Okay, let's talk about this power struggle.
We should talk about this power struggle.
Do we think Sarah's mom actually cares, or is it just her son channeling his mom? Like the mom doesn't really care about the bath mat, right?
Oh, no. I think the mom really cares about the bath
mat. The mom like came over one day and was like, bath mat in the wrong place.
Oh, well, I don't think so. I think that he is saying, I do it this way because my mom taught me. And Sarah's like, your mom is wrong. I think that that's where this thing is. So first of all, I have to say, on behalf of all of us, Sarah, leave his mom out of it. Leave his mom
oh, no,
out
no,
of
it. But it sounds
everything.
Like he brought the
wait,
mom
wait, wait.
Into
no,
it.
No, no, no.
He brought the mom into it.
I'm going to speak up for Sarah not leaving the mom out of
no.
it.
No.
I'm going to say that I completely understand her being like, it seems like you haven't thought about whether or not everything your parents taught you is the correct way to do things or not. Like, it seems like she's not leaving the mom out of it, because what she's saying is like, boyfriend, you're an adult man. Like, let's decide for our household how we're going to do this.
Right, which I think is the right approach. But I don't think that there needs to be a your mom is wrong element. I feel like that's the way to lose the audience before you even get the show going. Like,
no, that's the way to gain this audience.
No.
I think we need more info on the mom-girlfriend relationship, which we don't have. But
okay.
I would be interested in that.
Like, I spent a lot of time discussing with my husband whether or not everything his parents do are of the best intentions. Like, he's like, I'm sure that if we just, like, misinterpreted them, if they, like, said something wrong. And I'm like, well, no, they're probably just also fallible humans. And so it might be one of those situations where she's trying to be like,
I feel like this is apples and oranges, though. I don't know. I just think you gotta like really tread lightly when you're making a battle between you being right versus his mom being right. I just think that that's like a really fraught and dumb way to get what you want.
But is she making the battle, or is the boyfriend making? Because to be fair, Sarah wrote this letter.
Yeah.
Sarah wrote the letter. We haven't heard from the boyfriend or the mom. But my read on this letter was that she was like, stop telling me how your mom does it. Like, this is how we do it here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I just take the mom out of it.
Yeah, but why is she calling the shots? Like, if it's going to be like, this is how we do it here, why is it not his way at all? Like Jolie said, there are a lot of different options. His, to me, doesn't seem to make sense because of the no air thing, but
well, then that's why I'm wondering if they're discussing
the like pros and cons of each of these,
right? And that's what I that's Hannah why I went
is
through,
very team Sarah.
That's why I went through I the options, because I think that she should just take the mother out of it and just say like, here is the con to doing it X way, here is the con to doing it Y way, and like. And not like your mom's way is bad. Like, I just feel like people get really okay, it's like that thing. Like, I can say anything about my mom, but if someone else says something about my mom, I will come across this table and cut you. Like, because she's my mommy, you know?
Plus, if they lay it all, if she lays it all out and they talk about it, and then he's like, but my mom, then she can be like, hey, let's not worry about what your mom's doing with her bath mat, right?
but there's exactly a step,
I think.
Yes. Also, like, I understand the bar is high for Jolie, and it seems like it's high for Sarah, but, like, I don't know. I think it's at least pretty positive that her boyfriend at least thinks about the bath
mat. That's a great point. They're talking about the bath mat. They're doing great. Sarah,
yeah, it could be a lot worse.
You and your boyfriend get along great. Like,
yeah, there's no
you
problem.
Should actually leave the mom out of it, because you're right. You guys have a great relationship.
Yeah, this could easily manifest in like a super passive aggressive bath mat war between the two of them.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm seeing. And I just feel like you don't need to be fighting over a bath mat. Like, Sarah, I don't know you, girl, but I feel 100% positive that you don't want to be the kind of woman who's fighting over a bath mat.
Hear, hear.
All right. So let's move on to the next question, which is not at all cleaning related, and I'm so excited, so I will not treat the audience to a diatribe on bath mats or WD-40. All right, Laura, I'm going to have you do this one from Brandon.
All right, from Brandon. I graduated from college in May, and during the last 3 months of school, I was dating this really great girl. We were never officially boyfriend and girlfriend, but we were seeing only each other, having sex, going on dates, etc. I was crazy for her and wanted to take things to the next level, but she was hesitant because we were about to graduate and we shouldn't be starting a relationship if we didn't know where our futures would be. I was excited to spend the summer with her. However, after graduation, her feelings changed towards me, and she no longer feels the romantic spark for me. I'm heartbroken, but respect her decision. I don't bother her. I give her space. I don't bad talk her. I don't overshare my feelings in all caps, to her. Few weeks after the breakup, she moves to New York for a job, and after my lease runs up, I move to the Cleveland area.
Brandon,
I know, and the thing is, I added to this story, Laura, I realize I like left in like some mistakes in there.
Oh no, that's
you're
okay.
Doing great with Thanks. It. I apologize.
All right, so we text sparingly over the summer, seeing how things are going, wishing each other happy birthday, stuff like that. As time passes, my feelings towards her diminish, but I still think about her often and like her. A few weeks ago, she texts me saying that she's going to be in the Cleveland area and she wants to hang out. I, of course, say yes. So what I am basically asking, after all that background info, is should I just be a good guy and have a nice time with her? Or should I listen to my dumb dick, depending on how the night goes, and invite her back to my place for one last hurrah? My brain is definitely telling me it's unlikely, it could blow up in my face, and I don't want to be that guy, in quotes. But I am also a dumb, horny man that's trying to live in the moment more, and I might as well go for it since this will probably be the last time I'll ever see her. Anyways, I'm a dipshit guy, and you're an adequate woman. Could you give me some advice?
I thought a lot about this question.
First of all, I want to say, like, Brandon, good for you for, like, being so self-aware. Like, mm-hmm. I appreciate that he's like, I'm a dumb, horny guy. And, like, that's okay to be a dumb, horny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you know. Could have been a lot worse.
But here's the thing. Brandon, you should be a good guy and sleep with her because that's what she wants.
If
right?
she wants it. How this do you girl, know that?
I think that Brandon is...
I agree.
This girl is definitely like, this guy likes me more than I do, like him. And yeah, going to Cleveland and having some fun with him. If you guys have already slept together a bunch, then you're probably like, yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
I think so too.
For your sake, Brandon, maybe you shouldn't sleep with her if you feel really strongly. But like, give her some agency. She definitely knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. She's hitting you up when she goes to Cleveland because you guys have slept together a bunch and you've made it known that you like her. And props to you. You did a good job of making her think like, yeah
but
this
I
be
can
fun.
Also see it. Like, I mean, she's going to Cleveland. There's not a ton in Cleveland. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Cleveland. It doesn't sound like that great.
Right.
But maybe she's only going there because she has to go there. So she's hitting him up because he's the only person that she knows and she doesn't want to like sit in her hotel for an entire weekend. Right. And maybe she's not trying to have sex with him, but it's just like, oh, okay, we can hang out now that he's like normal and not like obsessed with me and we can talk and whatever and we don't have to have sex. But if she wants to have sex, he should have sex with her.
Definitely be normal and not in love with her.
So wait, I want to hear Lindsay, because Lindsay had a totally different take when we were preparing for this episode. Lindsay and I had totally different takes on it. So I want to hear your take and then I'll tell you what my take on this was.
Yeah, I mean, I think just to go back to what everyone else thinks, I think we could actually interpret a lot more about her motives if we knew why she was going to Cleveland. If it's like, oh, I'm a salesperson and I'm going to Cleveland.
Actually,
but if it's just like,
we do know. I just edited it out. She was going, it sounded like to like visit family around the holidays.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I trimmed.
Yeah, but maybe her family
the...
sucks and she wants to not be around them all the time.
Right.
I mean, either way, I think it's the danger zone. Like, Brandon, I think you're in the fucking danger zone because it's clear that, like, even if you say you don't have strong feelings for her anymore, you have feelings for her. And if you sleep with her, like, whether or not, like, however it turns out, like, you're likely going to have your feelings hurt. And if, you know, you're saying it's the last time you're going to see her, and maybe that's the case, but, like, I don't know, if you're not totally over her and essentially at that point just looking at her like an object, like it doesn't seem you're doing, I just think you're going to wind up kind of bummed out. Yeah. Possibly. I don't know. Maybe you're just that horny, though.
Yeah. Okay, listen. On that note, this is a good time to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what my take on this was. And I do have actually some very specific advice for Brandon that I bet all of you guys will agree with. So I will be right back with the ladies of Deadspin. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. I'm here with Hannah Kaiser, Laura Wagner, and Lindsay Adler of Deadspin. Before we move into our third question, I wanna say what my take on Brandon's thing was. So my immediate reaction was like, oh yeah, go out with her, sleep with her, of course. And then Lindsay was like, no, he's gonna get his feelings hurt. And I was like, oh, her feelings, right? I forgot about those pesky things. And I think it also is really important to say, I think reading between the lines, Brandon already knows this, even though he didn't state it explicitly, but I think it is really important to say that she has agency in this situation, and she may well have been getting in touch with him because she wants to bang him, and she may well have been getting in touch with him because she was like, there's this guy who was a good friend of mine and who I enjoyed, and we're still in touch, and I'm going to be in the Cleveland area, and like, I'd love to see him. And maybe she just wants to see him to like go and have some beers or whatever, and she doesn't have any interest in making out with him. And so I think that it's incumbent on Brandon, if he does decide to see her, to be really aware of the fact that she is going to get to call the shots in this, because he knows he wants to sleep with her, but he doesn't know if she wants to sleep with him. And that is a question, and we don't know that either. To that end, I have my very, very specific advice is, if you do go out with her, do not drink too much. Because, Brandon, you don't want to be that guy. But if you get a couple of drinks in you and you lose your good sense that tells you, like, I don't want to be that guy, and your dick starts doing the talking, then you could end up in a situation where, like, she is giving you clear signals that she is not interested in being touched by you, and you're not seeing them at all because your dick has blinded you, and so have the beer goggles. So, like, just be really, really careful not to drink too much so that you can make good and smart decisions for yourself and for her, too.
Yes, I think that that's, like, she's right. It seems like she knows what she's getting into, but if you come off weird, or if you decide when you see her you're too in love, like, you know, clean your apartment, but don't think you're having sex at night.
That's such good advice. Thank you. Clean your apartment. But it's not a sure thing, even if you do. Okay, so I think we helped Brandon out.
Good luck, Brandon.
Good luck, Brandon. We're all rooting for you.
Good luck, Indians.
let us know what happens. We care deeply for you, Brandon. All right, we have one more question, and it is a doozy. You guys, I did not see that.
It's got a real twist.
I didn't see the twist at the end at all. All right, so Lindsay, you are up for reading our question from Dan.
All right, Dan writes, I met a girl from social media years ago who lives in a different part of the country. It started off harmless enough, but one night we exchanged numbers, and since then we haven't gone a single day without speaking. We'll talk from morning to night, work hours, weekends, you name it. We set up an in-person meeting when one of us was in the other city, which led to a hookup. I thought it was a curiosity thing and would stop after the sex, but it didn't. It only grew more intense. We still talk daily. Feelings have been thrown about, be it drunkenly or otherwise. Each one has visited the other at some point. Kicker. I'm in a relationship back home, and I'm nearly 100% certain that she is as well. Yet I constantly think of / speak to this person who I've only been around a handful of times. I can't bring myself to cut her out of my life, which you think would be easy from across the country. What am I doing? What do I do? Help.
Whoo, boy. Anyone want to help?
Well, first help I think you should break up with your girlfriend who you have no qualms about cheating on.
Right.
Like, so, that's for sure. For sure, break up with the girlfriend that you're with.
So Hannah wasn't in the office for our planning meeting on Tuesday, but when I read this question, Laura, Lindsay, and I, all the very, very, very first thing that all three of us said was, well, you got to break up with your girlfriend. Like, there's zero question, Dan. We're very sorry, but this relationship is no good. It's over. You're a cheater, and no one wants to be a cheater. And you have, like, you're wound up in feelings and about, like, emotional feelings and sexual feelings for another woman. Get rid of the girlfriend.
And if you hear this advice, Dan, and you're like, I can't do it, she's the love of my life, then there you go. Dump the other girl. Like,
but she's not the love of your life.
There's no way.
There's no way she's the love of your life.
It's just, I mean, in these situations, it's just, I mean, sorry, Dan, I don't know you, but I kind of feel like I do. Like, are you really that insecure where it's like you clearly have all of these feelings, but it's like, because you can't be with this other woman every day, like, you can't stand to be alone, so you have to, like, string along this other woman who honestly is probably, like, going to want to murder you once she finds out, because she will find out, whether it be from you or someone else.
Yeah, and I can't believe he's kept this hit. Like, how
he's definitely being a shitty boyfriend.
You've had this woman staying in your apartment in the city you live in with your girlfriend. How are you getting away with this?
Yeah.
Like, why do
also,
you...
Also, how do you have the time, like, the time and the energy?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, like, to me, this also sort of reads, like, not just some, like, dumb, horny man, but also someone who is on a weird power trip and, like, gets some enjoyment out of, like, doing this sneaky, devious thing, because why else would you keep it going for this long? Like, it seems very stressful and bad to us because we're normal, but there's something amiss with this man where he, like, gets his kicks from this style of thing. It's not just like a one night stand. We're like, oh, right. I cheat on my wife. Like, this is like a prolonged
this
thing.
Is an emotional affair, like, right. to the nth degree.
But he also says that he thinks the other girl, the one that he's cheating with from social media, has a relationship as well.
Which I want to talk about
kind
that
of
too.
Makes me think that he thinks, it sounds like he thinks social media girl is like cool, hot girl who's in some other cool, hot relationship. And so, like, he's got to hang on to his girlfriend back home so that way he's not, like, alone and pining after her.
Oh, so that
which
he has hands?
Extremely fucked up. Like, it seems like he's, like, using the girlfriend back home to make sure that he's not just, like, he doesn't want to be, like, too invested in this other girl either if she's not that invested in him, which is, like, even worse than just cheating on your girlfriend. You are keeping your girlfriend around as part of a power ploy you're playing in an entirely other relationship that she doesn't know about.
God, yeah, this guy
Dan,
just sounds terrible.
Dan, I'm sorry.
Dan, we're sorry that we hate you.
Yeah,
really
Dan,
do.
I fucking hate you. Like, you're really terrible. You are really terrible. But I will say, I mean, being terrible aside, you know, I gossip enough that I've heard enough stories like this to know that, you know, I've heard a good number of stories where it's like, you know, this guy carries on like a long-term sustained relationship and at some point, like, you know, leaves his girlfriend or wife or whatever it is for the other person. And I don't know, maybe it works out sometime, but like, you don't live near her. Like you said, like, you've only been around her a few, you know, times. Like, is she really going to be that great when you have to see her every day and figure out how she hangs her bath mat after every shower? Like,
Lindsay, thank you for bringing that full circle.
Right. Like, do we want to talk about, because we know he should dump girlfriend
there's no question.
So do we want to talk about, like, how he should handle?
Yeah. So we're all clear, Dan, you have got to break up with a girlfriend. You have to for.
She probably hates you by now anyway, because you're, like, emotionally absent and texting with somebody else every
I mean,
day.
Like, props to her for, either props to him for.
I hope she's cheating
for
on
hiding
him.
His tracks
That's what
so
I thought,
well.
Like, first.
Or, like, props to her for not going through his shit, because at some point when your boyfriend's like always on his phone and you don't know who it is, like,
well, maybe she does know, but she's just like using him for money or something.
Oh, I hope so.
Right, like, I hope she's getting something.
I know. Something. It's gotta be something. Okay, so we're clear on the fact that, Dan, you gotta break up with your girlfriend. Now, in terms of the LDR, they're sort of two distinct possibilities. Well, I guess there are really three distinct possibilities in terms of the long-distance relationship thing. One, this could be true love. Two, it could be that the reason, Dan, that you're feeling all of these feelings is because it's exciting, it's safe, because she's not. You don't have to see her bath mat. There's a whole pathology to long-distance relationships. Dan, I would say that you should do some reading about why people get into these kinds of relationships that are a little bit exist in the fantasy world, because you might find some literature out there that speaks to you and gives you some clarity about what's actually really going on with this relationship. But look, it is a possibility that these two are soulmates and they're meant to be together. The third possibility is that you have all these major feelings for her, and she has this, she's getting some kind of fantasy level enjoyment out of it, but her boyfriend back home is like the real deal for her. So, I mean, I don't think so, because I think that the same advice applies to her as to Dan. Like, you're also being a dick to your boyfriend and you need to be breaking up with him immediately. But we don't know her side of the story. So, like, to me, those are kind of the three possibilities. I would say, and I imagine that you three are going to really disagree with me about this. Which is good. We wanted the disagreement makes the podcast interesting and fun. I would say, Dan, once you've broken up with your girl, I think you got to lay your cards out, and I think you got to see where this goes. I think you have to be open to the possibility that this is true love.
That I don't fully disagree. I was actually going to say, I was going to say, like, once you've dumped your girlfriend and you're, you know, free, I would ask this girl if she's in a relationship. It's weird that you're assuming, like. You should find out if
that
she's in.
Also.
But, like, also, I don't know if it's fun and sexy and it's made more fun and more sexy by the fact that you guys are not together, then, like, yeah,
that's what.
Sure.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, I think part of him only likes this because it's illicit.
Right. Which is fine.
And he doesn't have to
do it, but, like, you know, find out what her deal is.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things about long-distance relationships, I'm a person who has been in a lot of long-distance relationships. And after a certain while, you kind of go, like, why am I always in a long distance relationship? Like, what's going on? So I actually did some digging to figure out what was going on. And one of the things is that when you're in a long distance relationship, you don't have to really fully commit. And like for me, I have massive commitment issues. And so when I read that, I was like, oh, light bulb, like that makes so much sense to me why I'm perpetually kind of like unconsciously seeking out these kinds of relationships. And maybe that's true for Dan. It certainly seems like it. If you have a girlfriend, you clearly already have commitment problems because you're cheating on your girlfriend, Dan. We know this about you. So like maybe that's it. Maybe this is true love. I don't know. I think you got to find out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, get rid of your girlfriend, but you're never going to know how you feel about this. Or more importantly, you're never going to get over it if you don't at least give it a shot. But, I mean, what are the circumstances? Are you ever going to live near one another? Like, how realistic is this to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, might a long-distance relationship just be what a positive relationship looks like for you, Dan? Like,
or maybe
it's not the worst thing in the world. If you have commitment issues, but you can commit to a long distance relationship and that works for you. I mean, look, not every relationship has to look the same, obviously. It was to state like the most facile thing ever. Some marriages are long distance and they work. Some marriages, the couple is completely and utterly codependent. Like, I could never be in that kind of relationship. I've been in relationships with men who have been very, very clingy of me, and it's like the kiss of death for me because I need a long leash. So, like,
or if you just want to be single and, like, if what you want, because it sounds like maybe what you want is to, like, have this girl who you have a cool connection with, like, just, you know, then date casually wherever you live. Like, if, you know, if you really love her, tell her you love her. But if you just want to sleep with her when you're in her neighborhood, then just make sure you don't have anyone else that you're lying to.
Yeah,
about
but they
that.
Talk every day and stuff. It seems like he's more into her than just the.
I think Dan has like needs an emotional relationship, and I think that that's why he's now got two of them.
Fair.
I don't think Dan's going to be a single man. I think Dan is like a serial dater. And, like, always needs...
Maybe Dan should go be single.
Well,
somewhere.
He should, but I don't think he's gonna be.
That's what I mean. Like, if you think that you can't commit to some girl who's far away, then, like, date casually where you are, date casually this girl who's far away from you, and just, like... But first find out if she's actually in a relationship.
Like, I don't think Dan can date casually. I think Dan needs deep emotional connections to be fulfilled in life. I think he's needy, and, like, maybe... Dan probably would love me. I would hate Dan.
Well, yeah,
we all established that we all hate ultimately,
you know, once you definitely dump the woman you're with and once you figure out what happens with this other social media woman, like, at least to an extent, you can kind of put together a composite of, like, a person you want to be with, because it's clear that the woman you are with officially has things that make you want to be with her, whether it's healthy or unhealthy. Maybe it's just emotional neediness, and maybe it's other things, and it's clear that the other woman has things that you want and desire as well, and maybe some of that is distance.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
And, I mean, that's kind of always been my philosophy. I've had enough, like, bad, burned-out relationships that it's like, well, this one fucking sucked. What can I learn from it? Like, I've made a lot of the same mistakes over and over, but, like... Yeah.
Do you make the list of qualities? Have you ever done that? Do you guys know what this exercise is?
No, what?
If you're a person who kind of like finds yourself always dating the same type in a negative way, or like repeating the same mistakes, or just never hitting on like the right person for you, the lid for your pot, you know, the idea is that you make a list of qualities, and they should not be superficial qualities at all. If you make a superficial list, you're actually not going to have any success with this exercise, and it does require you to dig really, really deep in yourself. So like, you wouldn't say things like has brown hair or has an Ivy. This is actually a better example. Has an Ivy League degree. You should not put that on. But you could put is intellectually curious or is smart, you know. So the idea is to take kind of the superficial out of it. But to make this list of the qualities that you're looking for in a mate. And when you've made an actual physical list, then you're much clearer in your own mind what it is that you're looking for. Because you can't really know, you can't find what you're looking for if you don't know what you're looking for. And I actually have, I've done this in my own life. It hasn't quite worked yet, but I'll report back if it does. But I have a friend who, at the suggestion of her pastor, did this. And it worked. It worked so well, actually, that her husband has all but two of the qualities on her list of, like, over 50 things. And they have three beautiful children, and they're happily married, and I was at their wedding almost a decade ago. And, like, so it really, there is power to all of this. I think maybe Dan might need to make a list. Yeah. I think Dan also maybe needs some therapy.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend therapy.
I don't think Dan's
going
to get therapy, but I think he should consider it.
Yeah. I mean, I think even with Jolie's list thing, something that I thought of when you said something like smart, you can learn things about yourself if you put things like not as smart as me.
Yes.
You know, right, like
if it's just for you.
You know what's funny? Smarter than me is on my list.
Yeah.
Smarter than me is on my list because I'm going to admit something so bad about myself. Oh, well. You already know terrible things about me, listeners. I had this serious boyfriend in my late 20s who I was going to marry, and I didn't for a whole lot of reasons. But one of them was that I was a lot smarter than him, and when we fought, I didn't fight fair because even when I was wrong and I knew I was wrong, I could out-win.
Yep.
Yeah, I could out-argue him because I was just a lot smarter. And so ever since then, but at least I recognized it and I took something positive out of it that, like, one of the things that I have always lived and I have always found in a mate is that I've always dated people who are smarter than me just so that I can't be my worst self. Because if you give me the opportunity to be my worst self, I will probably take it when I'm really mad. And that's the worst time for me to be my worst self because I'm bad when I'm really, really mad. I have a bad temper.
Yeah, don't make your list all just like nice and pretty and smart and all the other wonderful qualities that I, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You gotta be like
no,
a
no,
little
no, you
more,
gotta dig deep.
Like Lindsay was saying, like, do the qualities that are the qualities, like, for me, and fortunately this worked out, but, like, the number one quality would be, like, someone who is completely and unwavering in their dedication. Like, I don't want someone to, like, ever, ever have doubts about things. I want, like, a simple, clear-minded dedication to things.
That's good.
Because I'm not like that. Like, not, whereas, like, some people are like, no, I want, like, nuance and be able to. No, I want someone who, like, knows from date one what they want and, like,
oh,
never
I love
waver.
That.
And, like, and what does that reveal about you, then?
That reveals about me that, like, if someone ever lets on a little doubt about anything, that I will grab onto it and then, like, years later be like, there's that one time that you said this thing that contradicts with this other thing, like, everything else. Like,
it feeds into your neuroses.
Right. My worst self is someone who, like, synthesizes too much information and is like, well, clearly it's not good because it's not 100. I'm a black and white person. I like 100% good or 100% bad. So I know how I feel.
But at least
I'm
like,
kind of like that too. I understand that.
In setting that, at least you kind of have to come to terms with that. I mean, it may not be something you want to change. It may not be something you feel like you can change. But, like, you know how to find a partner that works with it.
Right. And it's a thing that you can sort of continually work on in yourself because you're aware of it. Because you've sat down and really thought about these qualities and what you need. Like, I had one. This is funny. This is, like, kind of good. We'll wrap up in the next minute. But this is funny and it'll make you guys laugh. Because you know me well enough to know that this is funny. I had on my list is willing to play my reindeer games, and then in parentheses, but has reindeer games of their own. Because I don't want, like, a follower. I want, you know, like, I don't want someone to just blindly follow me around, like, just playing my Jolie reindeer games. And I've had that. It's fun for about a minute. And then I'm like, I'm tired of being in charge of the reindeer games. Where are your reindeer games? Like, I want to go have an adventure.
Does that just mean, like, they have to have their own friends?
Yeah, their own friends, their own interests, like, their own
Their
own quirks. Like, I'm, you know, obviously a very quirky person. Like, one of my favorite things in the world to do is to go to Salem during Halloween week and get super witchy. And, like, I want someone who is all in on doing that with me. But I want them to have their own Salem.
Yeah.
That they can bring me along to. Like, that's what I mean by reindeer games.
Laura, would you like to tell us something from your list?
Oh, no.
I just pushed you so hard.
No.
I don't have a list. I'll think about it.
All right. Well, I'll have you guys make lists maybe, and then I'll bring you back. How does that sound? I want to see what's on Lindsay's list.
Oh, God. Yeah, same.
Okay. Okay. Well, so we will do that. This is probably a good time for us to wrap up the show. You guys, this was really, really fun.
Yeah.
I love this. I love having you here. I also have to say, I love the fact that there are so many women at Deadspin that we couldn't have every woman at Deadspin. It's an insane thing. It's such progress. We are not at all remotely done in terms of the progress we need to make. But when I started at Deadspin, it was me and one other woman who promptly left the site to go to a lady blog. And then it was just me for almost a whole year. I was the only lady at Deadspin, and I was just a freelancer, and I was, like, barely allowed in Slack. And then I got kicked out of Slack for existing in this world and so on and so forth. So we've made a lot of progress, and I think it's really great. And I loved having you guys here. I'm excited to have you back with your lists. Men, if you have questions for adequate women, we have an email address that you can send them to. Hannah, do you want to tell them what the email address
yes.
is?
Yes. Wait. I think it is just adequateman@deadspin.com, but let me double
Okay. check you double check that while I do our sign off.
That'll, yes. It is okay. adequateman, adequateman@deadspin.com.
Excellent. So that is the email address to use if you have questions for the adequate women, whether they be relationship questions or sartorial questions. We could do some fashion advice. If you have cleaning questions for me, send them directly to joliecare@gmail.com. But we would love to hear what problems you guys are having that you'd like our input on. And we'd like to do maybe more of these kinds of episodes. Maybe it'll be its own show one of these days. We shall see. If you liked this, please let us know. And on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of our amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show and adequate woman advice show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. You guys, that was great.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.